This is the Unregistered Podcast, and I'm Thaddeus Russell. This is a show about ideas, people, and behaviors that are considered inappropriate, out of bounds, or beyond the pale. The things you're not supposed to talk about if you're a school teacher, a college professor, a businessman, a politician, a parent, a neighbor, or even a podcast host. These are the things you're not supposed to say or even think if you're a good liberal, a good conservative, or a good citizen. Each week, I'll interview a person who has something bad to say. They might be a journalist or a professor. They might be a porn star or a drug dealer. They might just be an ordinary person with an ordinary job who doesn't care about the rules of polite society. I'm not interested in breaking the rules just to be a troublemaker. I'm interested in people who break the rules of conventional thought and who expand the scope of what is possible to say in our society. I'm interested in people who make me think. Unregistered is still a completely listener-supported podcast. So, if you want to keep the show going, I need your help. To make a contribution, you can go to unregisteredlisteners.com. You'll receive access to the private Unregistered Facebook page where I discuss the ideas from the show with listeners. You'll also receive gifts of unregistered merchandise, transcripts of the interviews, autographed copies of my books, webinars on history, politics, culture, and philosophy, and a download of my 11-part video lecture course on A Renegade History of the United States. I really hope you can help me keep these remarkable conversations going. There's another way you can participate directly in conversations with me, like the ones on the podcast. There are still a few tickets left for a special weekend event with me in Salem, Massachusetts on August 5th and 6th. You can get all the information for the event at thaddeusrussell.com/courses/weekend. My guest for this special Independence Day episode is unlike everyone else I've had on the show. He wants to be registered, and I don't blame him. Mohamed Shaghlil is from Syria. He's one of the few refugees from that country who's been allowed into the United States. As you might imagine, he has an incredible story to tell. But it might surprise you that he and I don't exactly agree on what the United States should do in his country. This is a conversation I'll never forget. So I'm in Manhattan, Midtown Manhattan, with Mohamed Shaghlil. I just learned his name. It's a tough name. And he said it's not exactly his name. They changed it when he got his passport. But it's close enough to his name in Syria that I'll continue to use it. So we are sitting one block from the Empire State Building. And you said
I can see it now.
And you can see it from where you're sitting, right?
Yeah. I can see it.
And you said, the first thing you said to me was, how tall is this, or how old is the building we're in, which is a block away? And it's about 10 stories or something? No, I guess it's more than that.
I talked about the windows.
And the windows, and you asked how old the building was. And I said it's about 100 years old. And I asked you if you'd seen, if there are buildings as tall as this in Damascus, which is where you're from. And you said not really, or maybe a few.
No. Maybe we have just one building, maybe 25 floors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the middle of Damascus.
So you had never seen a building like the Empire State Building? Before. Well, you'd never seen the Empire State Building or anything like this before six months ago?
No, I didn't.
And so you came here as a refugee
in
December 2016 Syria. And
that's right.
You had lived in Damascus?
Yeah.
And you were born in Damascus?
Yes, I was born.
And you lived your entire life in Damascus? Until
all my life, until we traveled or we moved to Jordan at December 2012.
Okay. So you lived in Damascus and you're how old?
I'm 35.
And you lived in Damascus from the time you were born?
Yeah.
Until you were about 30?
30, exactly, because I was born in 1982.
Okay, and so 2012?
Yes.
You moved, okay.
It's 30.
You left Syria?
Yes, we left Syria with my parents.
So that was about a year and a half after the war had started?
That's right.
Okay, and you left because of the war, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll talk about that in a second, but just so people know what the basic story is. So you left Syria for Jordan as a refugee in 2012, yeah. about a year after the war in Syria had started. And you lived with your parents at the time?
Or? Yes.
Okay.
Your mother? All the time.
Okay. Yeah. And were you working in Jordan?
Yes, I worked and I studied.
And you were in school?
Yeah.
And was your father working then, or were you?
No, he was sick. Okay. He had a stroke.
A stroke?
A stroke, yes. Mm-hmm. He had a stroke with his right side.
Uh-huh.
And so you were... and my parents were very old, like more than 70 years.
And were you supporting them?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was your profession? What was your trade? What did you do for a living?
In Jordan, I worked like a factory for, they made plastic. Maybe less than 1 year, I worked there. And I went to the university. I had to semesters. It was how to use the designing computer programs,
mm-hmm.
the AutoCAD and 3ds Max Studio.
Okay, so before you left Syria, what did you do for work?
Yes, I was a manager in my father's woodworking shop.
Okay,
in Damascus.
A woodworking shop.
Yeah, a woodworking.
And what did you make there?
Wood decoration and the cabin and the shelves, mm-hmm. for the clothes shops and the woodworking decoration.
So you're a pretty skilled woodworker, I take it.
Yes.
Okay. But then when you moved to Jordan, when you left Syria for Jordan, you then had to work in a plastics factory.
Yeah.
Because why? You just couldn't find work there?
Just you want to find a job there.
But you went to school because you wanted to do something entirely different, which was work with computers and computer design?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has relationship with my woodworking.
How so?
Skills. Like, I want to work as interior design. So, you know, I like to design, to make a design, so then you make the design.
Mm-hmm.
To make it really.
Right. So you want to design it on the computer.
Yeah.
And then have someone else make the, or you want to do that too? You make the thing that you design, or do you?
Yeah, if I can, I will make, but you know, it's hard to do something.
To do both.
But if I can have a place to do both, I will do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about the war, and let's talk about why you left Syria. So you were about 30 years old, or
yes.
29 years old when the war starts in 2011, and you were living in Damascus. So were you involved in some way in politics, in protests against Assad, or what were you doing then?
So I marched.
Mm-hmm.
For me, for my family, we didn't like the politic of al-Assad family. You know, we think Syria needs better than this. But for me, when Bashar al-Assad came as a president, I loved him. Like, we thought he's young. He will be better than his father. And he did something good. He changed something in Syria. But it was very slow. It wasn't enough for the Syrians.
What did you want him to do?
To give us the life that we want. Like, we want freedom. We want best economy. We don't want to go to other countries to get freedom. We don't want to travel to get better jobs. But we did.
What do you mean by freedom? What was it
freedom
that you couldn't
do? Like, when you see something bad, you can talk about that. We couldn't talk. We couldn't ask the things that we want.
So censorship, is that what you mean? That the government would stop you from saying things?
Yes. Okay. You cannot say that what you want to say.
And did you know of people who were punished by the government for saying things?
Yes, sure, for sure we know.
What would happen to them?
I don't know. We didn't see them.
Oh, really? They disappeared?
Yeah.
Really?
You knew? Yes, it's everyone know that.
You knew people who...
For disappearing?
Yeah.
It's normal in Syria.
Disappearing is normal in Syria.
Yeah.
Well, that's a reason to not want Assad around. And there was also censorship, right, of what you could hear and see, not just what you could say. In other words, you couldn't access the internet in ways that you wanted to.
You couldn't use Facebook and YouTube in Syria before, just maybe because you can write something and you can, or you can read something they don't want you to read.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch for something they don't want you to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very interested in that. So we'll talk about that in a second. But so you couldn't, you wanted the country to be wealthier. You wanted a better standard of living, right? You didn't want to have to move to other countries to live the way that Americans and Europeans do, or even maybe Kuwaitis do, right?
Yes, yes.
And you wanted to be able to say what you wanted to say and see what you wanted to see and listen to what you wanted to listen to, right? And so you marched in the streets.
Yes.
To protest Assad. And this was at the time, right, of what we call the Arab Spring. So you saw what had happened in Tunisia, I take it?
Yes.
And Egypt and also Libya. And was that an inspiration to you?
Yes. For me, every time when we didn't have electricity, sometimes the electricity cut because they don't care. They are careless. Sometimes we don't have electricity. Sometimes we don't have gas. So every time when I saw these things, I said we need revolution. They are careless. They don't care about the people there. They don't care about this country. We want better than the situation. But I never believe we can do something. I never believe we can do revolution, or because I know how powerful are this family.
The Assad family.
How powerful is this family. And his regime.
Mm-hmm. But you still marched in the streets. You still tried.
No, I didn't. I couldn't think about it before.
Oh, okay. Before the Arab Spring.
Yeah,
okay.
Before. But when that happened in Tunisia, and the Tunisian success with this, I said maybe we can do something. It's not impossible.
How big were the marches in Syria? How many people were there in the streets? Were they the size of the marches in Cairo?
No. We didn't have this size because Al-Assad didn't give the chance to get this number of people.
What did he do?
Killing.
I don't.
He killed. Huh. Well, let me complete with the idea about Tunisia and when the revolution succeeded in Tunisia. For me, and I'm sure about the other Syrians, they said, no, maybe we can do something, but we are different. We are not Tunisia, because the president there in Tunisia didn't use the army.
Mm-hmm.
And we know exactly Bashar al-Assad will use. But we didn't try, because he is a new president. We didn't try him with this situation. Maybe he will not use the army. Maybe he will be more, you know...
I guess a word would be accommodating, or, you know, I was going to say there's something not very intelligent about a ruler who only uses force against his people.
Yes.
It will work for a while. It will work for a while, if you don't turn on the electricity and don't turn on the gas, for a while the people will not rebel, maybe. If you use censorship over everything, for a while the people might not rise up. If you use the army to crush demonstrators and to disappear people who say the wrong things, for a while it might work. But am I right that that's, in the long run, it's not intelligent to use that style of government?
We thought, the Syrians thought, he's a doctor and he studied in England. We thought maybe he is not like his father. He's more liberal.
Mm-hmm.
He will not use the army.
Mm-hmm.
But he used. Then when the revolution moved to Egypt, also we were waiting what will happen. Then the revolution moved to Libya. It was very important for us because the situation of Libya is very
similar
mm-hmm. for us. So as we respected, al-Qaddafi used his army. But the world helped the Libyan that time. They didn't let al-Qaddafi to kill his people.
So you're referring to the United States and NATO bombing Libya and Qaddafi's forces in Libya in 2011? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
But when you said the world helped, that's what you meant?
Yes.
Okay.
Because he was sending a big part of his army mm-hmm. to Benghazi from the west to the east, and the Western Air Force stopped this part.
Right. Right. And Qaddafi was taken down?
Yes.
His forces were destroyed, essentially, or weakened enough by the bombing
yes.
that the people could overthrow him.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's right.
But that is what inspired you, right? You thought that if you did something similar in Syria against Assad, that the world would do something similar?
Yes.
That the United States would, and NATO might bomb Assad, and that's what you wanted?
I don't want it. Nobody wants to bring the foreign army to his country. We don't want to bring any foreign army to Syria, but we thought we are not alone. He cannot do that. He will not do that because he knows if he does, we are not alone. That's what we thought.
Hmm. So I guess I don't quite understand then. What you thought, you wanted what happened in Libya to happen in Syria, but you didn't want a foreign army in Syria?
No. I not like this. We didn't have enough bravery.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have enough bravery to make our revolution because we know Bashar Assad will use the army. But when the world or the NATO helped the Libyan, that time we said, okay, we can do our revolution if Bashar Assad, he will not use the army because he knows.
I see.
What is waiting for him.
Gotcha. Okay, so you thought, I see. So you thought that Assad would have been scared.
Yes.
Of what would happen to him. I see, okay.
So he will not use the army.
Oh, so you felt it was easier to be brave then?
Yes.
Because you thought that Assad wouldn't use the army because of
yes.
what had just happened to Qaddafi.
That's right.
Okay, I understand.
So that pushed us.
I see, okay.
That pushed mm-hmm. us to make our revolution.
So you didn't want the United States to drop bombs on Syria.
Until now, nobody wants to bring someone to bomb.
It'd be a very strange thing, wouldn't it, to want another country to bomb
your own
country?
No, right. Why? I want to destroy my country? No, mm-hmm. nobody wants that.
And by the way, even if it's... This is something that people don't understand. You served in the army, didn't you?
Yes.
Because pretty much all men do, don't they?
Yes.
It's called universal conscription. It means that all men must serve in the army. Is that right?
Yes, we have it.
And so when Trump sent the missiles to destroy the military base recently, a lot of people thought, oh, well, it's just soldiers who are going to die. It's just the bad guys. But actually, it was people like you, wasn't it? Because everybody or almost everybody in the Syrian army is drafted, is forced to be there.
But for now, the situation is different now. Because the army now, like before, you didn't have choice. But now you have choice. You are right. I know some guys, they are now in Bashar al-Assad army, not because they want. They can flee, but they are afraid about their families.
Sure.
If they can protect their families, they will flee.
Right.
They don't want to be anymore.
Right. They're forced. They're forced to be in the army.
Yeah, they're forced to be. Yeah.
So it may not be. I mean, there is a draft still, isn't there? I believe there's still a draft in Syria that men are still forced to serve by law.
That's right.
But there's also the fear that if you run away, that they might do something to your family or
that's
friends.
That's right.
Right. So there's two things that are forcing men to be in the Syrian army. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's my point, is that a lot of Americans, I think, thought, well, it's just fine to send missiles to destroy a military base because it'll just be bad guys, not civilians, right, being killed. But it's people like you. It's men like you who are forced to serve in the army who could have been 19 or 18 years old. Am I right?
Maybe.
Who may even hate Assad, in fact.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
That's right.
Who got killed. So it's, people, Americans often are very, it's very easy for a lot of Americans to think about bombing certain regimes like Russia or like Syria because they think, oh, it's just going to be Putin and the bad guys in Russia, or it'll be just Assad and the bad guys in Syria who will get killed, when in fact, in both countries, there is conscription, meaning that 18 and 19 and 20-year-old men, all men or most men, are forced to serve, right? So it's just something that I think it's missed, that it's people like you who may have no sympathy, who don't like the regime at all, who get killed by our bombs.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's all. So you were marching in 2012 against Assad. You thought that he wouldn't respond with the military. You thought he wouldn't use the military against you, but he did.
He did.
What happened?
At the beginning, he didn't use. But when the number of the marching people got bigger and bigger, so that time he used the army, because he knew if he didn't, he will leave, because it's clear for him that time the Syrians didn't want him. The Syrians don't want him.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say the most of Syrians.
Right. Is that true? Is that true? Most Syrians are anti-Assad, don't want Assad? Is that true?
Yes. It's true for me, but maybe we didn't have them enough number who wants the revolution. If you let the people choose with peaceful way, they will say we don't want him. But with the revolution, maybe they don't want that. They don't want that.
So I don't know, because I've never been there. And you're the first Syrian I've met who's lived there in the last 10 years. So I don't know. All I know is what journalists say. And I'll just tell you that a very, very few journalists in America say that actually a lot of Syrians do support Assad. Is that not true?
For now, yes. I say yes. But not because they believe in Bashar al-Assad, or because they see Bashar al-Assad as a good person. No. Just because they don't want the worst.
They're afraid.
They are afraid about that.
So their support is not real?
Not real. No, not real.
Okay. So did you see, what did Assad do with the military against the protesters then? Did he use tanks, guns?
He used everything. We saw everything from the Air Force until the Kalashnikov.
Hmm.
For me, in Damascus, I saw everything.
Like what?
I saw the tanks, the Air Force, helicopter.
What did the Air Force do?
Bomb.
People in the streets?
No. Not people in the street, no. It bombed the people. When he used the army, there's very big part of this army don't want to, doesn't want to kill the Syrians.
Right.
So they said, no, we don't want to kill. Who said no, they killed him. So he fled with his Kalashnikov because he knows they will come to his village and his city, and he wants to protect his family, and he don't want to kill any Syrians. At the same time, he knows they will follow him to his village to kill him and his family, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first, this is the idea or the first beginning of the Syrian Freedom Army, the people who left the Syrian army.
Right, I think, right, we call it the Free Syrian Army here. That's what we call it, I think, FSA.
The Free Syrian.
Right, that's what the Americans call it, right. And so those were the soldiers who, as you said, didn't support Assad and didn't want to kill civilians, so they left. They split off and became rebels or opposition to Assad.
At the beginning, they didn't want to become rebels, but he forced him to be like this because he followed him to their houses.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he knows, if he doesn't do, there's many and many soldiers and officers, they don't want to be in this war. In this war.
So this is what I meant when I was talking about Assad being not intelligent, because the way he's ruling over people, his use of the military, his heavy use of force against people, it will work for a while, but it sounds to me like most of the Syrian population, most of the Syrian people hated him.
No, I don't think they hated him. For me, I loved him.
Okay.
I loved him. Maybe I didn't catch you.
It's okay.
Before he used the army, I loved him. But after that, I hate him.
Right. Yeah. You did catch me. We agree. Yeah. I understand. When a ruler, a leader, kills the people like that, the people tend to not like him anymore,
yes.
Right? And so that's what I mean by it's not actually very smart for the ruler, because then he has all the people
who
are opposed to him.
Maybe you want to ask, if you love Bashar al-Assad or you believe in him, why did you do your revolution? Because we thought the issue not for him. We thought there's bad guys. He wants to give us the freedom. He wants to give us the modern country that we want. But there's other people, they worked with him, but they are more powerful than him. We thought that.
Oh.
So that's why we did this revolution, because we thought he will stand with us. But then we discovered, no, he is the leader.
Mm-hmm.
He is the first man.
That's interesting. So you knew a lot of people who believed that Assad was being forced to do these things.
But I see.
Within the government? You thought that there were bad people in the government who were making him do these things, that he didn't really want to do these things.
Yes.
I see. And that you think that was a...
We always said that to each other. He doesn't want that.
He had been in power for about 10 years. Is that right at that point?
Yes, about 10 years.
So
maybe one more.
So you had seen him in power for a long time, right?
Yes.
But all that time you thought that the bad things he did was because of other people?
Because Syria, under the control of Bashar al-Assad, got better. Syria got better with freedom, got better with, not really with freedom, but got better with other things, especially with economy.
Okay.
But like, I think he said no for freedom. Okay for economy, okay for other things, but for freedom, because it will be, it will affect me.
Right. So he allowed, like he would allow businesses to start more than his father did?
Yes, more freedom with economy, more freedom with currency, with for private banks.
Okay.
He tried with private media, but then he said no.
Right. Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense. He wanted the country to be economically powerful,
yes,
but he didn't want anyone challenging him.
Yes, but also by economic, we didn't have the situation that we want.
Right. It didn't get as good as you hoped it would. Is that right? You thought it would become better.
Yes,
economically.
It's very slowly, right. And sometimes it got worse. So at the beginning, nobody.
Do you think those are connected? The lack of freedom, the fact that there's no freedom to speak, and the economy doing badly? Do you think those things are connected in some way?
I don't know. Maybe you can have good economy without enough freedom. Maybe. I don't know. Because I see some countries have enough freedom, but it have bad economy.
And maybe vice versa.
Like in India. In India.
Uh-huh.
I think they have enough economy, enough freedom, but they don't have good economy there.
Well, they have I was thinking of China, right?
Also in China,
the economy has been doing terrific.
Yes.
But they don't have the freedom of speech.
That's why
that you wanted and certainly that we have here.
That's why I'm telling you maybe
there is no connection.
Yes, maybe I'm not sure.
I mean, a lot of people here in this country think that you can't have a robust, a strong, powerful economy without freedom of speech, without the ability to speak your mind.
But
I'm not so sure about that.
But at the same time, I think you can make better economy without good freedom.
Right.
Until one level or one point, I think you cannot stay improving the economy without changing.
Yeah.
With freedom.
Is this...
You can get for...
Why?
I don't know.
What happens at that level? What happens right there? When the people are getting wealthier...
So
the
you
people,
want right? me to explain hard idea with my little bit English?
You're doing great. Yes, I do. Because you can. Because you are. Sure. Go for it. Yeah.
So, when I thought before our revolution, yeah, I thought we cannot get better economy without good freedom.
Mm-hmm.
This is my idea.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's like a lot of Americans think that.
Yes, this is my idea because, you know, you get better economy, you want to share the ideas with the people. And how any modern country in this world got this situation because they talked about the bad things. They said, we don't like this person, we don't like this law, we don't like... They said that. They changed. When they talked, they changed. You have to give the people freedom if you want to improve the country, if you want to... make it better.
This is what you thought before the war. This is what you thought before.
Yes, this is my idea before.
When you were young.
Yes, right. That's why I thought we need this revolution. Because they are very hard with the freedom issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Syria has been ranked internationally as... for many, many years as having the worst censorship. It's been in the top 10 of countries for a long, long time for having the worst censorship in the world. So it's hard even for me to imagine living in a country like that. but I've studied it a little bit. And so I have some questions, though. So here's the thing I do know, though, that censorship, and this goes back to what I was saying about Assad not being so intelligent, because he found out, am I right? Tell me if I'm right about this, that censorship didn't work very well, that people found other ways to get information, to see things, to hear things. Is this right?
That's very right. From maybe 1995, maybe more than, I'm not sure, we had the foreign satellite channels.
Exactly. This is my favorite thing. Satellite dishes, right?
Satellite dishes.
This is my favorite thing.
If we don't have it, we don't have revolution in Syria.
That's right. That's right. And just let me just say, I've never been to Syria, but I know because you can see pictures, and everyone listening right now, if you Google this, you'll see what I'm talking about. On every apartment building, it seems, from pictures, in Aleppo, in Damascus, in every city in Syria, it seems from pictures, there are satellite dishes all over the roof of every building, apartment building. To me, that is the revolution. That is where the revolution is happening. Am I right?
I'll tell you something. In Syria, as a joking, we say we had two TV channels for the government before the satellite. We called these two channels, whether you like it or not, one, whether you like it or not, two.
Right.
So whether you like it, one, and whether you like it or not, two.
So
this is our TV channels.
So you're saying there wasn't a lot of difference between the two. They were kind of the same thing. The two channels were the same.
It's two channels. So
both run by Assad.
Yes, yeah. By the government.
And so not a lot of criticism of the government on those channels, right? What would you see on those, on whether you like it or not? What would you see on those channels?
Just many things, like TV shows, like news, like everything. But
everything?
But yeah, cartoons, sport shows, for sport, for kids, for science, for, but
sounds like PBS in this country.
Yes.
Listeners will know what I mean.
but all of them, everything you see goes through the filter.
Right. Yeah, so what gets filtered out?
Everything about freedom, everything will touch their power is out of this filter.
Here's what I'm wondering. So Assad is a secular person, a secular leader, meaning he's not imposing Sharia law, right? He's not a Muslim dictator the way that other rulers in the Middle East are. A lot of Americans don't know this. He's not interested, really, right, in imposing a Sharia law on Syria, right? So I know that in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, to some extent, well, in other countries, but certainly in those two, that the American shows that show sex, right?
Yeah.
Are considered by the mullahs, the religious leaders, to be the most dangerous things, right? More than even criticizing the regime, that shows showing women with no clothes on or a few clothes on, right? Are considered to be the most dangerous thing to the regime, because it's attacking the whole idea of Islam and Sharia law. Now, I know Syria's different. Syria's different. Right, I get it. So I'm just curious. I didn't know about Syria in this respect. But I'm wondering if there was censorship of that kind of show in Syria. Did the government care if you watched shows with women who weren't wearing a lot of clothes?
Yes. Actually, the Syrians, think they want us to see or to show this kind. But they are afraid about the reaction of the Syrians. They think it's this is the freedom. The government of Bashar al-Assad think this is the freedom to let the people drink, okay, to let the people walk without clothes.
Right.
But it's not the freedom.
Okay.
The freedom to let everybody do.
So Assad actually does want them to see those things. He does want them to see sexy TV shows. And he does want
not
them...
really. Not really he wants. But like they think if the people show this kind, it's the modern and it's the freedom.
Does he think that if the people are allowed to see those things and do those things, those Western things like drinking whiskey and,
yes,
and wearing, that they will then allow him to be their ruler, that they will not oppose him? Is that what?
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
Or that will make the vision of Syria or the view of Syria better. Like a modern country. Mm-hmm.
To outsiders, to Westerners. That Westerners might see Syria as a modern Western kind of country. Is that what he wants?
Yes.
Or that's what he... Okay. But there is censorship of those shows as well. Am I right? That he wouldn't allow American shows on his television channels?
No.
Right. See, here's what I'm wondering. I don't know. And maybe you don't know either because you don't know what Assad's thinking. But here's one reason I could think of that Assad would not allow shows like Friends. Have you heard of Friends, the TV show?
No.
Wow. Yeah, okay. So Friends was one of the most popular shows here in the United States in the 1990s. And it was very, very popular in a lot of Middle Eastern countries too, actually. But it showed most American TV shows. Are people poor in them? No. They all look very wealthy, right? They look very rich. Americans look rich in those shows. Everybody seems to have a lot of money and live in a nice house.
Yes.
And drive a nice car.
That's what we think about America. We think everybody there is rich. Mm-hmm. And they have comfortable life. And they have... Yes, that's right. We think that from the movies and the TV shows.
Well, right. And so I could imagine... I would think that Assad might not want that. Because then you're going to think, oh, we can have a better life if we leave.
Maybe.
Did you ever get a sense that that was the thinking of the government? That the government was thinking that? Was afraid of those shows in that way?
No. I don't think that. I think they care about the reaction of the Syrians. Maybe the Syrians don't want to show this kind of...
Oh.
The Syrians don't accept... this kind of freedom. We don't see the freedom with drinking and with taking off the clothes.
Right.
Don't see the freedom like this. We see the freedom to make your life as you want.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like sexuality.
Uh-huh.
We don't like sexuality shows. Mm-hmm. We don't like you. It's.
Hmm.
It works.
Is that really true?
Yes, against our against our ideas.
Yeah. Okay. How do you, Syrians don't like sexy or sexual shows?
Yes.
Or music?
Yes.
So, okay. So, have you heard of Beyoncé?
Beyoncé, yes.
You've heard of her. Okay. What would Syrians think of Beyoncé?
I didn't talk with any Syrian about that.
No, I know, but you know who she is, right? You know what she is. You know
she is a signer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what she looks like?
I'm sorry.
Beyonce.
Maybe I show her one time.
Okay. Madonna. Have you heard of Madonna?
Madonna, yes.
Okay, what would Syrians think, or what did they think of Madonna?
She's a signer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But she's very sexual.
I didn't know that.
You did? Let me tell you something. Maybe the censorship was working. I'm getting that impression now.
Really, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that Madonna was sexual if
no.
she didn't wear a lot of clothes?
No.
On stage? Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. How about music videos? Were there, do you know what I mean? Were there music videos with Syrian singers in them? Syrian dancers?
For the Syrians.
Who are the Syrian celebrities? Do you know what celebrities means?
No.
Very famous people, like movie stars, singers,
yes, we
actors.
Have, we have who, singers,
right.
we have actors, but you know, the ceiling of the freedom mm-hmm. for this issue
right.
of is getting higher.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you understand me?
I do. I do.
Because the government doesn't care, but they
censored.
They censor mm-hmm. the people.
Mm-hmm.
When they feel the people, it's enough for them. So this is the ceiling. When they feel they can make the ceiling
higher
they will make.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yeah. So you think the government wants to make the ceiling higher?
Yes.
For sexual freedom?
Yes.
Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about sexual freedom, right?
Yes.
Women wearing what they want, men wearing what they want, talking about sex.
Yes.
Having it on TV, hearing about it in
yes.
music. Okay. You think the Assad government actually wants there to be more sexual freedom?
Yes.
Huh. Because it would make the Syrian people happier and like the Assad government better? Why would the Assad government want more
just
sexual freedom?
Just because they want to make a vision or the mm-hmm. picture about Syria better.
Hmm.
Like we are a modern country.
Right. Hmm. And you're saying the Syrian people don't want it as much?
No, don't want it as much.
Hmm. All right. Well, I wonder about that, but I can't really prove it one way or the other, so I'll have to let that go. I mean, I have to wonder.
Not the Syrians. It's not like in Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, you think the people, the Saudians, wants to change the social system, but the government doesn't want. You think that, but the reality is the government wants to change. But the government is afraid about the reactive, about the community, about the people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't want to work against the social system. For the Syrians, we cannot say in Syria there's one type of thinking for the people.
Of course, yeah.
You cannot say you can find the liberal, you can find the religion.
Religious people.
You can find the many kinds of thinking. So I think the government wants to get more unreligious.
That's okay.
System.
Okay. When you were talking about the government being afraid of the reaction of the people, were you talking about sexy shows on TV?
Yes.
Making religious people.
Yes.
To react
yes.
against the government. And that's what they're afraid of. Is that what you meant?
Yes.
Okay. Now it makes sense to me. Okay. So they're afraid of the Assad government, which is essentially a secular government, is afraid of these Western sexy shows and music causing people like ISIS and Al-Qaeda and to rise up to become angry.
No.
Religious people to be angry?
I don't think we had them. We had Al-Qaeda or...
No, I know. But
you know, for them, like for in Syria, when you want to bring something like this and you say this is as a freedom, it's not... If you gave me everything as a freedom, I can't believe you. But when you gave me just this issue,
mm-hmm.
I will think you have a plan. Just you want us to be like this.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't give me in America. I can understand that is a freedom because I can do everything I want. So I can understand this is a freedom.
Right.
But when you gave me this and just this,
mm-hmm.
it's not a freedom.
Right.
You have a plan. Against my religion.
Right. But you have American Idol, don't you? What's it called in Syria? Arab Idol.
Not in Syria. I told you, in NBC.
But it's watched in Syria. People in Syria watch it, right? It comes from the satellites.
Yes.
Through the satellite dishes on the roofs of the apartment buildings in all the cities in Syria, and people watch it. And it's very popular, isn't it?
Very popular.
And I haven't watched it, but I assume it's very much like the American Idol show. Is it like the American Idol show? Is it similar?
I think the same. I think the same. They do the same.
Right.
With this kind of TV shows.
And it was, did you watch it when you were living there?
Yes, I watched it. I told you I'm not really familiar with this, but I watched
it. And it was very popular.
Very popular. Right. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. That kind of thing. So, but the government, well, yeah, did the government allow that? What did the government think of America? What did the government think of Arab Idol? Do you know?
They don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care because they can't do anything.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing. They can't do anything about it.
They don't care. They don't want Al Jazeera. They don't want CNN. See, they don't want anything. But they can't control.
Right. So satellite dishes were, I know this for a long time, and it may still be illegal, technically illegal, but there's satellite dishes everywhere, right?
That's right.
In Iran, every once in a while, the government comes and tears down all the satellite dishes from people's apartment buildings, but then they come right back up. So in Syria, did you ever hear of that happening? Did the Assad regime ever try to tear down satellite dishes?
I didn't hear about this.
It's impossible to do that. They tried to take off
mm-hmm. to take off the dishes. I didn't hear about this, but I can remember at the beginning, at the first when this dishes came, it was something hidden.
Oh. So people were afraid at first to have satellite dishes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. They were afraid about that.
Yeah, they should have been.
But then it became normal.
Exactly. Right. So everyone has, or most people have satellite dishes now, right? Or
I think all of them.
You think all of them?
I think all of them.
Really?
Because we cannot stay with this two.
With, what was it called again? Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, whether like or not.
Right.
You cannot stay with them.
Is it boring?
Boring.
Yeah.
It's boring.
That's the thing, right?
It's boring.
It's just boring. Government tends to not make very entertaining shows. When governments make TV shows, usually they're boring.
That's right.
I think. It was true.
You have the same.
We sure do. Yeah. Well, yeah, we have for quite a while. It's not exactly like the Syrian state television, but it's public. It's called PBS here.
PBS.
And it's essentially, it gets government funding. And it's, some of it's entertaining. Some people like it. Some people do like it. But most of us do not. Most of us prefer to watch Fox News or Fox Channel or Fox anything or Comedy Central or MTV, you name it. So let's go back to a less happy thing, which is what was happening in 2012 when you were there.
Yes.
2011 and 2012, you were still there.
Yes.
And you were protesting against Assad. You were marching in the streets, you said?
Yes.
What did your parents think of that? Were they happy with you doing that? Were they afraid?
My father was happy. My mother wasn't happy. She doesn't care about politics. She doesn't care about anything. Just she wants me to be safe. She doesn't care. But my father cares. He didn't push me to march, but he was happy with that. Because one time I didn't went to marching. He asked me, "Why didn't you go?" I was surprised. I didn't know he wants me to march. But that time, I knew.
How dangerous was it for you?
Did the army ever come after you? It was dangerous, but you know, I had my plan. Like, don't just stay with a big group.
Mm-hmm.
It's worked
right
to protect me.
Well, maybe.
just stay. Don't be
alone.
Don't be alone.
Right.
Just be with a big group. Mm-hmm. It was dangerous. Then
did you see people get killed?
Yes. I saw people got killed. Yes, I saw, but it wasn't clear who is shooting. Like, I didn't see the army or the police shooting the people because you cannot.
Mm-hmm. But who else would have shot them?
I think the Assad regime mm-hmm. did that, but I couldn't to see that like clearly mm-hmm. because I will be directly in dangerous area.
Did you see the Air Force dropping bombs?
Yes.
You saw bombs coming out of airplanes?
Yes.
Onto the city? Over Damascus? Did they hit Damascus? Did they actually bomb Damascus? They bombed other cities, didn't they?
No. He bombed
the outskirts? Outside of Damascus?
Yes, yeah. Outside of mm-hmm. Damascus. You know,
so you saw the planes flying overhead?
Yes.
And did you see the bombs actually fall out of the planes?
Yes, I saw. Before, the people from Homs and from Idlib told us he used the Air Force and the helicopters. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of us didn't believe, but when we saw, we believed.
Because you still loved him then?
No, but maybe you said maybe some, because we thought maybe someone, maybe there's someone is lying.
Right. Well, could be. I mean, a lot of people have said that there has been a lot of lying about this war, that a lot of people have lied about what's gone on.
Yes.
What do you think are the lies? What's not true?
Are you asking me about what Bashar al-Assad is doing?
Yeah.
No, everything is true.
Everything is true?
I thought before it's, because it's very big, before it was very big, I thought it's lying.
So everything that's been said about Assad that's bad, you believe, you think is true. You think he's used chemical weapons?
Yes, for sure. Hmm. For sure, I believe. Hmm.
Okay, so why did you leave the country in 2012?
In general, for this war. But for me and for people, friends, we create as a group to help the people who fell from Homs. Because that time, Damascus was pretty safe. And these people came from Baba Amr, Bab Sba'. It's the areas who work against Bashar al-Assad hardly.
Mm-hmm. These are rebel areas. These are
yes.
areas where the rebels are powerful. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
or there's a lot of opposition
so
to
these
Assad.
Yeah. Families couldn't go through the army checkpoints mm-hmm. because their IDs say they are from that areas, and also maybe some of them have last names similar with the fighters
right.
there. So it's hard. It's you are in trouble when you do something like this. So we help them to. We gave them houses. We gave them food, we gave them maybe money just for these families maybe. Then they knew about us. It's illegal. It's illegal. You cannot do that. They knew about us.
The government did.
Yeah, the government. They
he just hit his fists together. They cracked down on you.
Did
they punish your group?
They punished one.
What did they do?
They
arrested him? Took him away?
Yeah.
They disappeared him?
Yes. They disappeared him.
And he was in your group?
Yes.
Helping these other families from other cities?
Yes.
Right.
So then they tried to catch other one. So I knew my turn is coming.
Yeah.
They are having more information. Also, I have two old parents.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, my father.
They were in their 70s, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, they were over 70?
Over 70. And my father had a
stroke.
Mm-hmm. And they need medicine. when the war begun in Aleppo, we have most of the medicine factory there, and the road cut off
between Aleppo and Damascus.
Okay. It was hard to find medicine for my parents.
Oh wow.
So that time I said it's the time to leave, and I left to we moved to Jordan.
Because you had family there, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and your sister or two sisters?
My sister and my brother.
So you applied to become a refugee with the United Nations
in
2013.
Yes.
Why?
I thought it will protect me from the Jordanian government to bring us back.
Got it. So you applied for refugee status to protect you from having the Jordanian government push you back into Syria.
Yes.
Okay, I see. Right. But then eventually you did apply to become a refugee to leave Jordan.
Yes.
And to leave the whole area.
Yes.
When was that?
In 2015.
And why? Why then? Why did you want to leave? Why did you want to become a refugee and leave the whole area?
I didn't apply. They call us. They call us. Do you want to...
The United Nations called you?
Yes.
Huh.
Do you want to travel? Do you want to leave? Do you want to move to America? I asked why I want to do that. They said you will have a new normal life because in Jordan, we didn't have any legal situation. In Jordan, they didn't accept us as a refugees. We are not refugees and we are not allowed to work. And we are not legal refugees. It's temporary situation.
I understand now. Yeah, you had no legal status in Jordan.
Yes,
either as an immigrant who could work.
It's not clear.
Or as a Jordanian citizen.
It's not clear.
Right, but you couldn't find work.
You can find work, just like cleaner, someone to carry things. But as a designer, as woodworking, you cannot. It's for the Jordanians.
So you worked in the plastics factory for 1 year, and then after that...
It was illegal.
Oh, it was a legal job. You worked in a plastics factory, but what were you doing in the factory?
Like a worker with these machines.
But low level.
Low level.
Low pay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Low pay.
Okay, so it's 2015. You're in Jordan with your mother and father, but you have no legal status as refugees... And you have no protections. You could be sent back to Syria at any time by the Jordanian government. It's very hard for you to get work there, or really impossible to get legal work. Is that right?
It's not impossible. You can get
a very low level,
but very
low bad level. Work.
Yes.
Stuff you didn't want to do. And so that, I guess, is that why you applied to become a refugee to leave and to come to the United States?
Yes.
So that meant applying to the United Nations?
Yeah.
And then they decide which country you go to, don't they?
Yes.
You didn't get to decide to come to the United States.
No, we didn't.
Where did you want to go?
For me, I didn't know. I didn't have a full idea about America. But, you know, I was afraid. I know America is freedom country. But I thought maybe there's a lot of people, they don't like us. So for me, if they gave me the choice, I will choose another country because I didn't know.
Right. Were you afraid that Americans would think of you as a terrorist?
Yes.
Okay. And that was less likely if you went to Europe? That Europeans? Europeans certainly were admitting, they were letting in far more refugees than the United States was.
Yes,
far
maybe more. Maybe Europe, maybe Australia.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't sure. You didn't know where you wanted to go. But you did get selected by the United Nations to come to the United States, right?
Yes.
But then something happened with your father died, is that right?
Okay. Yes, my father died before our travel, maybe 6 or 7 days.
So, you were about to leave, is that right? You were about to leave for the United States and your father died just days before?
Yes. So...
How did he die?
Heart attack.
Oh.
he had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. So my mother's case stopped, or to re-interview.
Her status changed, and she had
status.
She had to start over entirely?
Yes.
But this was the United States, not the United Nations, that was doing this.
Yes, right. This is for the United States.
So when you first applied to become immigrants to the United States, you applied as a family?
Yes.
Okay, and then your father died, and so then your mother's status changes. She's no longer... It's a new application to become immigrants to the United States, so she had to start over.
But with the United States, my case was separated.
Why did they let you in?
Because I am more than my age, more than 18. They have this situation.
Hmm.
It's.
So they let you in, but not your mother.
Yes, my mother's case stopped, but my case didn't stop. So I can continue, mm-hmm. but she can't.
Right. And so where is she now?
She is in Jordan now. She lives with my father's family.
And you
my brother's family.
And you haven't seen her since last December?
Yes.
Okay. So that must have been hard for you.
It's very hard. It's the first time for me to live alone.
Really?
I didn't live alone before. I didn't leave my family before. It's really hard, you know.
I bet.
I don't want to leave her there, but I can't do anything.
So it must have been very hard for her.
Yes.
To have you leave.
Yes.
Without her.
I call her every morning because I know it's important for her.
I bet. Yeah. So you lived in Damascus your entire life. You lived with your family your entire life, right?
Yes.
Your mother and father. And all of a sudden, you're in the United States by yourself.
That's right.
Wow. I mean, so what was it like when you got off the airplane?
I was sad. I was sad and afraid. I had the situation... The first 3 months when I came to America, I couldn't believe that I live alone. Mm-hmm. And every morning I thought, where I am, mm-hmm. or where am I?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Where am I? Why am I here? But now I feel better. Like, I don't have many choices to do. I have to rebuild my life here. I want to get normal life, like the life I wanted to get in Syria.
So do you want to stay here?
If I can go back to Syria and rebuild my life there, I will do. But if you want me to be honest with you, I think it's very far dream. Because it's very far time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait. I want to rebuild. I want to get a normal life. So if I get the life I want here, maybe it will be very hard to leave everything and go back there and rebuild. It will be new life there. It will be new life there.
Did you speak any English when you first got here?
Somewhat.
I mean, that alone, just that, must have been so difficult.
Yes.
I can't imagine myself going to another country where I don't speak the language. And living there. I can't
imagine
doing that.
Many times I was going to cry about English. I wanted to pay my cell phone bill. I couldn't say that I wanted to ask about a new plan for my phone. I couldn't. That time, if I had airplane, I will go back. Because it's very hard. Until now, for this conversation between you and me, I feel bad because I have many ideas.
I can tell.
I can't say it. I can't explain it. And I'm sorry about my English.
No, maybe I can tell. It's the word, do you know the word frustration?
No.
I think you're feeling a lot of frustration. You're very frustrated. It's, I can see that you have a lot of ideas, that you that you think a lot about these things. And I can only imagine being in your situation, because I have a lot of ideas, but not being able to communicate them must be very frustrating.
Yeah, for me, the hardest time for me, when someone American talks to me or speaks to me and I can't understand. Mm-hmm. That time I feel myself very stupid, but I'm not.
No, you're not stupid. You just haven't learned English.
I mean. So, but for me, I see America now is my home. My dreams, it's turning to America now. My dreams, really. Like, I feel to America, it's strange to me. I can't believe that. But I'm at the beginning, but I'm going to feel for America like I felt to Syria.
When you say your dreams are about America now, do you mean that you're thinking about the future and being here in the future?
Yes, yes. Okay.
And that's a new thing, I would imagine. That must be a new thought, a new way of thinking.
Yes, and I didn't think I will think like this, but I'm thinking now.
So you must like something about America. Do you like it here?
Yes. there's many things in America I like.
Like what?
Like how I can say everything I want to say. Mm-hmm. In Syria and in Jordan, I couldn't say what I'm saying now. And I said many things here, America, about the new president. I don't like him.
You said bad things about Donald Trump?
I don't think it's bad things. I think it's the truth.
Right.
But
I probably agree with you.
But for me, it's great. Mm-hmm. Like my dream. I think in America, and we don't have this in Syria, you can control your life to make it like you want more than Syria. We have many choices. That is my idea about America. So I think I can rebuild my life. I can get comfortable life here. I think that. And also the people here, not like I thought. They are much better than I thought, really. Maybe I didn't meet the bad Americans, maybe. But until now, the people here are very nice.
So no one has accused you of being a terrorist?
No. Nobody said that to me.
No one's been angry at you?
No.
No one has told you to go home?
No.
To go back to Syria?
Until now, no.
Until now. So you had a lot of help, though, coming here, right? You had, there was an agency?
Yes.
That helped you called IRIS?
Yes.
Which is one of, I think it's 9 resettlement agencies that are all around the country that work with the federal government, and they get funding from the federal government to help refugees settle in the United States. And have you heard the word assimilate?
No.
Assimilate? It means, this is a very important word to me, it's something I study, is assimilation of immigrants. And it means becoming part of a new culture.
Yes.
It means living like people in another culture.
I hope.
behaving, acting, thinking, doing things like people in another culture, right? That's what assimilate means. And I know that the refugee agencies all try to do that.
Yes.
Help you assimilate. And I'm really curious about that. I'm really curious about how they taught you how to be an American. Because I'll tell you this, no one's ever taught me how to be an American.
Yes.
Not really. I mean, let me take that back. We get taught how to be American every day in all sorts of ways. Like, I'm sure you're taught how to be Syrian when you're in Syria every day, meaning that you're always getting messages about what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what you should do, what you shouldn't do.
I understand you now.
Okay. So we get taught that all the time in America, but we never get taught how to be American the way that you're taught, which is, I think, they actually sit you down at a table, right? And they say, this is one thing Americans do. This is a second thing Americans do. You're laughing. The third thing Americans do, and we don't, and Americans don't do this, this, and this. Is that right? It's a class, isn't it? I'm very curious because you're laughing so hard you can't speak.
They did that one time.
I love this.
They did that one time. Just one time. For me, it's very important to understand the new community.
Sure.
And I think it's not hard for you to be American person, because maybe I don't have yet fully idea about the, it's short time, it's less than 4 months.
Oh, I know.
And the first 3 months,
it's incredible how much you've had to learn. So people understand, you flew into New York City, is that right? Where did you land? Which airport did you come into? JFK?
JFK.
Okay. And then someone met you at the airport, is that right?
Yes.
Who met you there?
International Immigration Organization, mm-hmm. I think.
But IOM. Some Americans working for this agency picked you up?
Yes.
And took you where? Where'd you go?
They took me to New Haven.
New Haven, Connecticut.
New Haven, Connecticut.
And did you have an apartment? Did they take you to your new home?
Yes, I have my room. It's with four guys in New Haven.
Are they all refugees?
Yeah.
And they're all from Syria?
No. Hmm. Two of them from Afghanistan, and one of them from that time, he was from Iran. But now the new guy is from Cuba.
Cuba. So you have several languages going on there.
Yes. I'm learning Spanish also at the same time.
Wow, that's quite, what an experience. So they take you to this apartment and there's three other guys or four other guys living there. What did you think when you saw Connecticut?
It's cold city, no one there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Damascus.
Right.
Damascus is a very big city. It's similar to
New York City.
To New York City.
Right. So Connecticut has no people and it's very cold. So what did you think of New Haven?
Yeah.
Home of Yale University.
Yes.
What do you think of New Haven?
It's great.
Oh, not a lot of people say that about New Haven.
Why?
Not a lot. It's just considered not one of the nicer cities on the East Coast. Maybe, it's considered to be
maybe because
outside
they
of,
have
outside of Yale
experience more than me.
Hey, I don't know. I've never lived there. I've only been there, I think, once. So I don't know. But it's
but for
it,
me,
it has
I,
not a great reputation.
I like New Haven. Maybe when I have more experience, I mean, and I more information.
Well, what do you like about New Haven?
I think it's clean city and the people there are nice. There's no a lot of traffic jam. Mm-hmm.
Is the traffic in Damascus terrible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like here.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice. It's nice city.
So on the first day you were here, did you go to IRIS, the offices? And when did the classes start? When did they start teaching you how to be an American? Right away?
Maybe after I arrived. After I arrived, maybe 15 days.
Okay. Can you tell me, do you remember the very first day of your classes? What happened?
It was normal. It was normal for me. It was easy.
Well, what did they teach you?
They teach us a little bit about the American laws.
Like what? Which laws?
Like your rights.
Like what? Which rights? What rights do I have?
Yes, you have the right to talk about your ideas when someone from the immigration asks you about your papers. If you don't have, you can call IRS, and you have the right to work. You have the right to live, to have a normal life. You don't have the right to hit your wife and your children.
They taught you that you don't have the right to hit your wife?
Yes.
That's one of the things that IRIS taught you?
Yes.
Huh. Did they say that's what Americans don't hit their wives? Or did they...
I think they didn't say that. I don't know. But they said it's illegal.
Illegal.
Uh-huh. It's illegal to do that.
Okay. Or to hit your children. They said it's illegal to hit your children.
Yes.
And your wife. That's interesting. If there were a book that taught you how to be an American, were you saying that you would buy it?
I don't think there's a book about this, how to be American or how to be Syrian.
What do you mean?
Yes,
there is. It's called The Constitution of the United States, Muhammad. You should read it. That tells you everything, doesn't it?
Okay.
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
No, I know, but this book, it's not going to make you American if you read. Do you understand?
Oh, I certainly do, because most Americans don't know what's in the Constitution.
Even they know. No,
I'm telling you. I'm telling you that most Americans do not know what is in the Constitution. In fact...
But they are Americans.
In fact, I bet this is safe to say that immigrants and refugees know more what's in the Constitution than Americans do.
That's right.
Because you have to, because you're required to learn the Constitution.
Yeah.
And Americans aren't really anymore. But I was also saying that people often... act like the Constitution and democracy and freedom of speech, those things are what it is to be American. And it's very funny because most Americans don't talk about those things. You want to know what most Americans do? They watch TV.
In America, maybe you can't believe me. All the time I watched TV in America, maybe 15 minutes.
Right. So here's the thing. If you're going to be a good American, you need to watch more television.
So do you think the TV shows reflect the real American life? For me, I don't think so about any country, because the TV shows always tries to give the people what they want. The TV shows, it's not working to reflect the
reality.
It
gives people what they want rather than what they already have.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what I want to watch too. I don't want to watch what I already have. That's boring. I want to watch what I want.
I'm
mostly joking with you here.
Yes.
So you said earlier that the reason that many people like you marched in the streets against Assad was that you believed that he would be afraid, given what happened to in Libya to Gaddafi, to use the military against you, that it made Syrians like you more brave to go into the streets to protest.
Yes.
But you also said, I don't want foreign armies in my country.
Yeah.
Well, so now the big question is whether the United States should go into Syria. What do you think about that?
If that is going to stop the bloodshed, mm-hmm. okay for me.
Really?
Yes.
Do you think that's possible? Do you think that could happen?
This is the big question. For me, I don't want America to go there. I want the world or many countries or many powerful to work there to force Bashar al-Assad and the others to fix this problem. For me, if I knew before Syria will has this situation, I will say no for this revolution. Because I want for Syria freedom. I want democracy. I want better economy. But I don't want 100,000 killed people. Mm-hmm. I don't want ISIS. I don't want all of these troubles. I don't want chemical attacks. I don't want the Russian Air Force there. I don't want the...
Well, the American Air Force is there too.
What also the Americans, okay. and the Turkish and mm-hmm.
That's right. You don't want any of those to be there.
No, so I don't want.
But you do want to get rid of Assad. You want to remove Assad. Assad to be gone. Okay.
For sure.
So,
because it's his fault. Everything now in Syria is his fault.
Okay. But you also said, I think, that what you want is for the world to do that, to get rid of Assad. Is that right?
If it's possible to get out al-Assad, mm-hmm. and we will have better than him, for sure I want. But I'm afraid about the worst. For sure I don't want him. He is the main murderer in Syria.
So you want Assad to be replaced with a better person?
Yes.
The question I have for you, though, is do you think the Syrian people by themselves can do that?
Yes, can do.
Or do they need the rest of the world to help them?
For now, I'm not sure the Syrians can do that now by themselves. I'm not sure because the others like Iran, like
the other
Turkey,
countries,
they have their hands in Syria.
Oh, right. Yes, I was going to bring this up. Okay, so for a long, long time, many, many other countries, including the United States and Russia and Turkey and Iran, have been involved, have been Syria.
That's right.
Either helping Assad or helping the rebels.
That's right.
In all kinds of ways, giving them guns, giving them tanks, giving them money, right? On all sides. For many, many years, other countries have been doing that. So then the question is, should those countries leave? Should they stop involving themselves in Syria? Or should there be a different involvement? Should they do something different in Syria? So I'll just tell you where I am.
Yes.
I'll tell you what I think.
Yes.
As an American, I want the United States to leave entirely, to leave the Syrian people to sort out their own destinies themselves. And you don't want that, which is very interesting
and sort of
ironic.
I want everyone to leave Syria.
Me too. Yeah, that's what I want.
But we have Russia now. We have Iran now.
Right.
If you say to America, I don't want you, mm-hmm. and for Turkey and for all of these countries, I don't want you to...
It's a very difficult question.
Yes.
It's very difficult. I understand that. So you're saying that Russia has a lot of power in Syria. And are you suggesting or saying that the United States should do something to remove Russia?
Okay, that's the most important thing I want the United States for. Because we have Russia. Russia is a very big country. As Syrians, we need someone very big to work with us with the situation. I don't want the U.S. Air Force above of the Syrians hits. I don't want anybody to throw bombs above us. But we have someone like Russia. The Russian bomb us.
Mm-hmm.
So we need someone at the same size to say to them, go out.
Mm-hmm.
We need someone like America and someone like the Europe to say to Russia, go out of Syria.
Right. The question is how that would happen.
I don't know.
If Hillary Clinton had one, and that's what she was promising, she was basically promising to do what you're asking for, how would she have done it? And she was actually talking about flying U.S. jets over Syria to make it impossible for the Russians to be in Syria, which is, you know, an act of war. And it sounds like that's not what you wanted either. I don't see how the United States could do this without going to war.
For me, like you are thinking, I'm thinking. I don't know how, but I think America has the powerful to do that.
Sure. Oh.
But they don't care. They care about ISIS. Just they care about ISIS because Bashar al-Assad didn't say any word about killing Americans. But ISIS said and did. For me, the worst person is Bashar al-Assad as a Syrian. But for the Americans, the worst is ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
So they cannot understand us. Because ISIS is very bad. If they have the same weapons that Bashar al-Assad has, they will kill us maybe the same way, maybe worse. But for me, when I count the number of the people who killed, I can see the very high difference between the number of the Syrians who Bashar al-Assad killed and who ISIS killed. For me, I want to stop Bashar al-Assad and the Russian.
Mm-hmm. And you think only the United States can do that?
I think we cannot by ourselves. We cannot as Assyrians. We need someone for the size of Russia.
Yeah. I'll just say, as an American, I wish that were possible. I wish it were possible without killing lots of people. I don't think it's possible for the United States to do that without killing lots of people, including lots of Syrians. No one knows for sure. But in terms of the history of the United States doing things like that, there's never been a case where the United States has not killed a lot of people in replacing bad dictators like Assad.
But you are maybe
so this would be the first time that it worked.
Maybe
if it were to happen.
Maybe you are right. But at the same time, I cannot say to Russia, keep doing what are you doing.
I know. Yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah.
For me, I want the solution. I want to stop this bloodshed.
I'll tell you this. I think we certainly agree on this. There's no easy solution. Is that right?
There's definitely no easy solution.
But I do know that I do not want to have any part in this government, the United States government, killing anyone in your country.
I'm very thankful about that. It's great for me to hear these words from you. But for me, I need someone to help me, just to stop the killing there. So if America... And I believe America can do something there. Can, because, you know, it's not about Syria. It's about the world. There's something in Syria, something in Europe, something in Asia. It's about the oil. I think America can do something with this, with Russia, as a deal. But for the Americans, they don't care.
Yeah, it's possible they could work out some deal where they could trade oil for them leaving Syria. So let me ask, here's the last question. Here's something that Americans can do right now for Syrians. They can let Syrians into our country, like you. Now, your face is telling me something that's...
No, it's good to to let the people come here who needs the people who need to live in a peaceful place and but what about the people who are in Syria now?
No, I know. But let's just for refugees though.
Okay.
I mean, I'm very clear on one thing that we can do right now as Americans. We can let many more Syrians into
yes,
our country.
It's good.
Refugees like you. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Should the United States let all of the refugees in?
Yes, I agree with you.
Do you think that we should let all of them in? I do.
All of them? Yes, why not? Just, yes, all of them.
Well, I'll tell you why not. I mean, I'll tell you the reason that's given for why not, which is that many Americans believe, including the president, that many Syrian refugees are terrorists. What do you say to that?
I didn't see any terrorist Syrian refugee. By the way, I didn't meet any member of ISIS all my life.
Right.
I'm a Syrian person.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't meet anyone.
ISIS didn't exist until the United States invaded Iraq. So a lot of people have said that what the United States did in Iraq made ISIS possible.
I'm sure Bashar al-Assad is very important. ISIS is very, very important for Bashar al-Assad. It's very important because he has a big problem if ISIS is gone.
Why is that?
If ISIS is gone, the focusing about him, what are you and the Russian doing now? Because there's no ISIS.
Right.
What are you doing? It's the worst news for him. There's no ISIS anymore.
Yeah. So if you're saying, I think, that if the ISIS goes away, that Americans will focus on what Assad does and what the
yes,
Russians are doing. Well, here's another piece of bad news for you about who Americans are. Americans generally don't care about other countries unless there are people in other countries who are like ISIS and threatening to kill us. But otherwise, Americans don't care about what goes on. Most Americans don't care about what goes on in other countries, I'm sorry to say. Well, in some ways that's good, in some ways it's bad. But don't get your hopes up that Americans will suddenly, out of the goodness of their hearts, focus on the true bad guys to you. So I just want to say, I hope that we do allow many, many more people into this country who need to flee their countries. And I certainly hope that as soon as possible, Syria finds peace. And I certainly want us as Americans to do everything we can to make that happen. I think we've made a lot of terrible mistakes.
Yes.
I think we as Americans are responsible for not everything, of course, but a lot of what's happened in Syria. And to me, what I want to do is stop Americans from doing those things.
You are right. But I think also America has to do something to stop the killing there.
Well, we'll just have to, on that, agree to disagree. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I told you, you asked me, what do you like in America? Mm-hmm. I like the people like you.
Mm-hmm. This was the Unregistered Podcast, and I'm Thaddeus Russell. Please don't forget to check out unregisteredlisteners.com to support the show. And if you're interested in the special weekend event in Salem, Massachusetts, go to thaddeusrussell.com/courses/weekend. Thanks for listening.